She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And the show today is made possible in part by the support of Chapman Tucson. You can visit them at chapmantucson.com to find some of the most fuel-efficient cars on the market today. And of course, I hope you do. My guest today is Andy Rubin, and he is one of the founders of Yertl. And Yertl is a platform for literally giving away stuff to your friends. And I just have to say this. Welcome, Andy. I'm really excited about this interview. Thanks for taking your time to be with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I've got to say that I feel like I'm a part of something wonderful in sharing this show with you and sharing about Yertl in the very beginning stages. So everybody stay along for the ride. You'll be really glad you did. A couple of short announcements. Mrs. Green's World is also a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, where my shows can be heard every Monday and Tuesday at dreamvision7radio.com. Every Monday and Tuesday, check them out. Great shows. If you miss my live show, you can pick it up on Monday or Tuesday on the internet, dreamvision7radio.com. We are live every Saturday at noon Arizona time at mrsgreensworld.com. And of course, I always do the shout out to join me on Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter. My blog is pretty active these days, and of course, Facebook. And if you have questions for me, info@mrsgreensworld.com. And a short shout out about one of our national sponsors, Ecobella. If you are looking for safe, chemical-free, organic, and high-quality skin and makeup products, check out Ecobella. I never get tired of giving them my heartfelt endorsement because I think that safe cosmetics are a huge solution to a lot of the problems we face with our health these days. Ecobella is doing great things for the planet and for abused or neglected animals. We're so proud of our partnership with them and their shared vision for a sustainable planet. From the very beginning, they have been committed to sourcing their goods sustainably, which is no easy task. And I ask you to consider supporting companies like Ecobella through your purchases. It's one great green thing for you to consider. Visit them at Ecobella, and it's eco with two C's.com. And if you like what you see, decide to order. Put in Mrs. Green when you check out and you'll get 10% off your purchase. I heartily embrace their partnership and what they're doing for the planet. Now on with the show. And you know, Andy, I know I sound a little breathless, but that's what happens when I go down the rabbit hole of things like Yertl. It's like, let's get on with the show. It's the most, it's certainly a catching name. You have a really big vision. So let's get started with the first big question. What is Yertl?
Great. Yeah, you brought a smile to my face. I agree with you. Yertl is a place where friends share the things that they have, that they aren't using right now or they no longer need, with their friends, with people they care about.
And how did you decide on the name? I mean, I've started companies, and it's huge. It's not exactly the same as naming your children, from my perspective, because I have children, but it's almost the same. It is giving birth to something magnificent that you hope will grow and prosper. How did you decide on the name, and what does it really mean?
You know, sharing for us, when you're sharing with someone that you care about and you're sharing something, it's a special experience. It's a connected experience. And so the word share over the last few years has really evolved in meaning to more represent where you had dinner last night. And we need more words for that experience. And so we invented the word Yertl.
You're kidding. I love that.
Yes. So it's we need more words for something like true sharing, what sharing was years and years ago. And so Yertl, we hope, is one more word for that type of experience.
Well, after reading what I have, and hopefully with what we share today, it's going to be a household word like, you know, Kleenex or iPhone or something like that. I think it's the new paradigm thinking, and believe me, I'm ready for it. So give a little bit about your background, because this is not your first rodeo, to say the least. You had a major job for the head of sustainability for Walmart.
Yes. Yes.
And now
so
you're at
yes, a very large retailer to a very small sharing site. That's absolutely right. So I had been fortunate enough to start sustainability at Walmart. It was an amazing experience. Had learned a lot about commerce, about brands, about the way things work in that world. And in that, was privileged to meet a co-founder of mine, Adam Werbach. Adam was originally at the Sierra Club, was president of the Sierra Club when he was very young, and been also at several companies. And a third co-founder, Carl Tashian, who was one of the founding team members of Zipcar. So the three of us, between a grassroots focus and set of experiences, branding, commerce, this collaborative space, are all from our different angles extremely excited about how this evolves and the obviousness of what we're seeing and what's happening with people sharing things.
And it's almost like when I started, I read about this, and I will talk a little bit more about it, back in November around Black Friday. I'm a big fan of Joel McCower, how could you not be, from Green Biz. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a really great article, and I immediately sent the link to Kelly, who does my traffic, and said, we have to get one of these guys on the show, because it is what I call the new paradigm thinking, the new business model. So between you and Adam and the third person you mentioned, it's a lot of what I call business acumen and brain power and experience. So the next step is, I think for sorting out the way that I wanted the show to run, is let's talk about the mechanics, and then maybe in the second half talk about the big vision, because you're right. Want to create paradigm shifts in in the way people think about stuff and massive consumerism. So just tell us how it works and how people can access Yertl at this point.
Sure. There are two, anybody can go to Yertl.com. It's a web-based platform, and there's an iPhone app. And the two major, the two main ways that it works right now, the first is that we all are, probably all, I certainly have things that I am done with or not using. Right, and they're things that I haven't used in a year, and they sit in my closet or my garage. And the first way it works is you simply take a picture of that item, and it is that item is then available to my friends, and we can talk about the people and how I'm connected to those people. And the second way is something that I am about to buy. And I traditionally would have gone to, let's say, an online retailer or a store, and before doing that, I ask my friends and I check around. You know, I'll search and see if the item has already been put out there, and if not, I can ask them. And I'd love to give you an example of each, because it's giving an example of the first, just a personal example. I had just upgraded the memory in our home computer and had, this happened last week, had the old memory that I was no longer using, and I posted that on Yertl. And the first, in my experience, what happens when you post something, you think, wow, I wonder if, you know, I'm done with this. Does anyone really want this?
Right, right.
And then within a day or two, a friend of mine, Jeremy, basically is working with a group that's upgrading the memory in the San Francisco Unified School District, and immediately said, Andy, I would love that memory. It would go to this school. And so I gave the memory to Jeremy. It's now in the school. I've gotten pictures back of the school and the fact that this memory is there. And what is beautiful about this new economy is that I'm glad my computer is running faster because I've got some new memory.
Right.
But I'm getting more satisfaction of the old memory.
And that's almost the essence of what I got excited about. It's not just selling something on a site. It is really about connection, which is part of the thrill to me in getting you on and saying it is, people are starving for it. So there's the first example, you hit it. Why did you pick Facebook? I think that's an interesting platform and exciting. I mean, it's certainly cutting edge, and I'm sure the three of you very consciously decided we're going to do it with Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook right now is where people are.
Yep.
Right, and so, you know, it's not Yertle is not about Facebook. Facebook is a place, though, where when someone comes on from Yertle, they are immediately connected through their Facebook friends and through friends of friends to many people already. So it immediately, when you come in, the average person who signs up for Yertle will find 300 or more items that are free right there from their friends, that their friends are looking to give to them. And so that's through Facebook. Now, we will, at some point, and we look forward to having alternatives where you don't have to log on through Facebook. You can, you can just sign up with an email.
Right.
But the reason for starting there is one of the most important things with scaling something like this is that, you know, when you join a site, not putting people through the effort of picking out all the individual people, you show up and the store is already populated with things, and they're things from your friends.
And there was almost a, when I read about it in your FAQs, which I did read, there's almost a vetting process that is not to exclude, but to really, like you said, make it easier for someone to know that they don't have 30 friends on Facebook, so it's not really the best placement of what they want to get rid of. Is that a fair way of saying it, an accurate way?
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not sure I followed.
Well, so if I wanted to go on Yertle, but I only had like 6 friends on Facebook, I might not be able to join. That's, to me, a vetting process, or is that not?
We actually are allowing anyone right now to
join.
It's just you might not see many items. And we talk about those people who come in and don't see items. There's still an opportunity for someone who comes, who joins Yertle in that way, to kind of be a pioneer, right, in that. And to start by posting a few items themselves, things that they'd want to share with friends, and then inviting a few friends that they might, you know, they would be interested in giving those items to, or that might be interested in those items. So you can still move forward even if you don't have items because of the connection to Facebook. One of the steps forward that we are making right now that we're incredibly excited about is that we know that while Facebook is the place where the most people are and has the most connections, it doesn't truly represent for most people their true social graph. So the people that they would share things with is different at times and broader than simply your Facebook connections. And so in the next few weeks when you join, not only will you see your Facebook connections, but you'll have the option to share things with people you work with people you might have gone to school with people that your kids go to school with. And so that starts to open up and more accurately reflect from what we hear from our members, accurately reflect the people that if I'm giving something away, I would gladly give it to any of these people.
And is it based on, and this is really a concept that I embrace, but it's really based on, I know this is going to sound a little wacky, but it's based on trust. You send your item, and I am assuming that if you're sending the item somewhere out of town, you cover the shipping. So there's really got to be a relationship, and I get that piece too. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. No, trust is a really important part of not just Yertle, but of many new businesses right now, and likely new economies. The trust is because these are people that you know. Right, so it's because I would share something, let's say, with my partner Adam. I don't care what his eBay scores are. I know him. He's a friend of mine. Our kids play together.
Right.
And so I don't need evaluations of other people that he's worked with. I'm a friend of his. And so if he's looking to, if I'm gonna hand him a book or we gave him a a blazer that my son had outgrown. And so he was heading to a wedding, and he's got a son that's a few years younger than mine and wore my son's old blazer.
It's a perfect example, because you don't want to buy a new blazer for the wedding. You have to go to twice a year.
It's a one or two times a year. And the blazer, for us, we only got 2 wears out of it, and it was sitting in our closet. And our son had outgrown it, and I absolutely could have done something else with it. But the most special thing I could have done with it was realize through Yertle that Adam needed it. And, as Adam came back from the wedding, I loved talking to him about, did his son, how did the blazer work?
I so
right?
get
and
it.
So, But there's, you know, there's no need for trust where Adam would be worried that blazer wasn't right. Because if I was going to give him a blazer that he shows up to the wedding and it's not right, we've got bigger issues. So these are your friends. They're people that you, they're people you have ongoing relationships with.
And, you know, there's two other components to this that I got excited about. One is it's not just for giving things away. You have it set up so that you can actually lend things. And I thought about, well, what would I want to lend to someone? And the answer to me was something like a piece of art that I, you know, I might have two or three other things that are hanging and I don't really want to give it away, or jewelry. I have jewelry that I don't wear that I would like, you know, my granddaughter to have someday, but she's 12 and she's not going to want to wear this necklace that I, so those are, you can loan things on the site also, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there, you mentioned some great examples. Other examples that we see people loaning are outdoor gear. Right, I just loaned. I just loaned out two sleeping bags.
Right, right.
And tents, you know, things like tents. Tents don't get consumed. They don't get used up. They get old.
And they take up space, because that's another perfect one. We bought a tent when the kids were little to go camping, and then guess what? As soon as the kids were not little, we did not want to go camping, and we had this big old tent. Perfect example.
Yes. So, and then kitchen. There's a lot of kitchen appliances. That I think that we see a lot of things from wedding registries 10 years past that sit around and easily would be loaned out. And it could be a fondue. It could be a fondue set. It could be an ice cream maker. It could be a pasta maker. They're things that are fun, but maybe once a year. And there's a lot of enjoyment in being able to hand those to someone that your kids go to school with and give them a chance to make pasta. Once.
Did you ever pick perfect examples, you know, bread machines, things that we have sitting in there that, you know, are we ever really going to make bread again? But you don't want it. And giving it to someone that would love that is great. A sewing machine. When I gave my niece my sewing machine, she was thrilled. And my brother and sister-in-law didn't have to go buy it. So there are so many examples that I think of. And I know that this is, I have to ask the question, but if anybody's really listening to what you and I are talking about, the answer to me is obvious. But why is Yertle so different from sites like FreeCycle and Snapgoods and Craigslist? I mean, I understand why it's not like eBay, which is more of a commercial site, but what was your vision for saying, no, we're not that?
Yeah, the primary difference for us is the friendships and the social nature. So our starting point are people that you have ongoing relationships with. And that does that changes things in several ways. One is it eliminates the, you've already asked about trust, it eliminates the exploding toaster problem, right? That is this, can I really trust that this blazer, this toaster is a good toaster? And because these are people you have relationships with, you can. The second is it makes it much easier to move the items. Right? These are people that you tend to see. And if you don't see them, they're people that you want to see. Right? And so it tends to make that easier. And a third is that it provides a lot more pleasure in the experience. Right? Handing something that I'm done with, I recently gave away a garden hose that we weren't using. And the friend that I gave it to has sent me pictures of her garden, which is staggering to me that a garden hose that wasn't being used in my garage has become a garden. And so the pleasure that I take in that experience compared to dropping that off somewhere or putting it on my curb is very different. And so a primary difference for us is the social nature of the site.
And connecting people, I just kept coming up for me and coming up for me as I prepared for the show. It's like, this is all about connection, which I believe people are starving for in our very overtaxed accessibility. They want real connections. Now, what are you doing about people's bad judgment? Or is that the trust issue? Because even, I think some people don't always exercise the best judgment. So what... doesn't the possibility exist that something inappropriate might be put on the site? I mean, I know trust is great and I get it, but what would your liability be, and what are you doing to kind of screen that possibility? Or are you?
Sure. I mean, this is a space where we are fortunate that others have a lot more experience than we do, and we can learn from the Craigslists of the world, the eBays. Have done a pretty nice job in terms of how they've thought about these type of, you know, there are items. We joke that people should not yodel toothbrushes.
And you said husbands. I was laughing at that. Don't share your husbands. That really made me laugh.
Yes.
It's good but, sense you know, of humor there.
For the most part, this is existing behavior. And so this is between two people. It's peer-to-peer. And it's a behavior that is extraordinarily large, if you could measure it, which is, you know, where people pass down baby items and kids' clothing and people, you know, people do share these items. It just has, it has not had the ability to happen at any kind of scale. And generally what we found is, while it does happen, it's an existing behavior, because there's no knowledge, if I knew what my friends were looking for, if I knew what they wanted to go do, I would love to help them.
Right, right.
And so, in general, the liability question and the risks between simple policies from those who have, you know, kind of are giants in the space and have gone through this before, and between the existing behavior, we watch for it very closely, and we've the trust in a friend, the social graph provides, and the fact that they're your friends.
So it's kind of inherent in the concept,
yes,
of the founding of the company. I get it. So we are going, believe it or not, I told you time would fly. We have to go to a very short break. Please, everybody, stay here with me. When we come back, we'll talk with Andy Rubin, who is one of the co-founders of Yertle, which I'm sure you're going to want to check out. We'll talk some more about the vision and a little bit more about the mechanics. Please stay with me. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And for this extra second, don't forget to check me out on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, you name it, I'm doing it. Stay here with me.
In the mid-Tucson summer, you would expect it to be over 100 degrees. But deep beneath the University of Arizona's compost heap, temperatures can hit 160. Started by the Compost Cats student group, the U of A Compost Project is collecting tons of waste from around campus and keeping it out of landfills. Gathering garbage and converting it into a useful product for the community? Now that's a hot idea indeed. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some exciting news. The all-new 2013 Honda Accord is here. It's got a new level of sophistication. It's an efficiency expert, and when you drive one, you can discover how EcoAssist can help you increase your fuel efficiency. For a record 26th time, the Honda Accord has been named to Car and Driver's esteemed 10 Best list. To check them out, visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street. They have a great selection of 2013 Accords in stock right now.
You can always find things around the house to give to Goodwill, but I have a bigger reason to give. A while back, I lost my job and I couldn't even support my family. A lot of people don't know Goodwill can help you find a job, but that's what they did for me. I've had this job for 7 years and I love going to work. You know how they say Goodwill changes lives? Well, it's true. Goodwill needs your donations now more than ever. Please donate today.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we are certainly giving you a new idea to think about today, a new exciting, hopefully taking the world by storm idea called Yertle. And we are fortunate to have Andy Rubin, one of the co-founders of Yertle, which is a platform for giving away stuff to your friends and getting things from them. Andy, again, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Now, in terms of, I think of the brain trust that the three of you bring to the party, okay? Because I did the research. you really have a vision for an iconic brand. And in the reading that I did, you want to be like, I think of things like Costco. And I actually thought of Trader Joe's, even though it isn't a membership, but you want more than just a, even just a trade. You want an experience. So how did that vision come about? Like the, with the three of you, I could just see you in the think tank co-creating these ideas, but how do you see that rolling out?
Well, there, you know, from a, let me address it from a retail point of view. So I've spent the last 20 years in traditional retail.
Right.
And, you know, a retailer's job is to help its customers, right, make its customers successful for the experiences they want to have. A great example is when, in an early inspiration for Yertle, was when my daughter went to play soccer. And, you know, my daughter's six. She needed the normal gear, shin guards, you know, uniform, etc. And it wasn't that I had to buy new shin guards. I just wanted her to be prepared that when she showed up on the field, she's ready to play soccer.
Right.
And so today, what's easiest is to go online and buy new shin guards. And they show up at your door, you know, 2 days later. We have a vision of, you know, the really good retailers continue to evolve like they always have.
Right.
And that down the road, I will start with a retailer that would help me see, yes, I can buy new shin guards and they cost XYZ amount. Here also are three faces of people that you know that have shin guards that would fit your daughter. And if that's the retailer that is going to help me the most, because maybe I buy the shin guards, maybe I don't buy the shin guards. I can borrow them from a neighbor of mine who has a daughter that is just a little bit older. And then I end up buying, I can't find the cones to practice with, and maybe I'll end up buying those for my network. And when I'm done with those, I can pass them on in the same way. So we have a vision of, we know that retail, great retail is about serving customers' needs, and we know that we believe roughly 20% from the work we've done, 20% of what you need exists right now in your friends' closets and garages, and they'd be happy to give it to you. So we see this as long-term a portion of retail for good retailers.
It's huge. I mean, and 20% market share is no small piece of the way that we spend money. And you pick soccer as a great example. It's such an expense for families and such a waste because your kids grow fast and they're in and out. And I know there. I heard this young man speak. I'm not kidding, Andy. He was 12 years old, and he spoke at a fundraiser I went to. And he's created a national soccer exchange for soccer balls and soccer equipment. He's 12 years old and he has a business plan. And that was started based on trust, starting it with his local soccer team. And then the moms and dads saying, boy, this is great because you can just pass it down onto me. And creating a platform for that was all web-based. So it's the same concept of start with your friends and spread it out. And it's one that I happen to really like a lot. Okay, I'm bouncing around a little bit, but I didn't finish the part about there is an app for that. And how do people actually, if you're not on Facebook, do you have to join Facebook to do it? That's the only platform right now. I know down the road you will develop other platforms. But right now, if someone's listening and says, I want to be a part of it, I want a Yertle, because I think you can be a noun and a verb. How do they do it?
Yeah, you do at this point, you do need to be on Facebook.
Okay.
And, you know, it's... It absolutely is it's a starting point for us, and the reason for doing that is having that density for most of our users. And we absolutely understand there are some users who are not on Facebook and decide not to join right now. And all I would say to you, if that does speak to someone who's listening, I would just say that we will absolutely have alternatives soon.
And all the safeguards are in if they want to. Don't be afraid to be on Facebook. I mean, they're doing a lot of work to protect our privacy. Now, in terms of the site, to get people excited about the site, since we're still on the nuts and bolts of it, I hope that everybody who listens to this show, and I hope there are thousands that eventually listen and download the podcast, take some time to go to the site, and it will, when you talk about bringing a smile to your face, it's things your friends would post. Cutest dog ever. I saw that. I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And of course, it wasn't one of my friends. Long, slinky dress. Now, that made me smile. It was just like, and there it is, hanging on somebody's door. And this one cracked me up because it's so stuff we do. A new wooden foot massager. You know, you buy those things and somebody approaches you in a mall and you're like, oh, yeah, I'll buy that. And yep. you're like, what the heck did I buy that for? It never even came out of the box. So yes. I'm famous for doing that.
I would be, I cannot even hazard a guess at the number of wooden foot massagers that are sitting in closets and garages around the U.S. right now.
That one made me laugh out loud. And you want to go to a site in this day and age that makes you laugh out loud. I'm like, sweet, I would have put that up. It really does yes. make me laugh.
One of the great things it's been such a great experience, is to find one thing, right? Just even, you know, maybe two or three, but just one thing that is sitting around right now. And, you know, think of what that one thing is. And if you have the iPhone app, it's as easy as just taking a picture and putting the title in. But then uploading one thing on the social graph. And, you know, if things work in the traditional way, one of your friends or someone you care about is going to want that wooden foot massager. And if you have experiences like we all are right now, it will feel so good, right, to say, wow, that's just been, not only does it feel good to declutter my life, right, and to not have that filling up my space, it feels really good to know that someone you care about will get to have that.
You know, it perfectly segues into a concept that I had not heard about. It's a name for it, but you talk about, and you spoke with Joel McCower about, the informal economy, which really dwarfs the formal economy for durable goods. Can you just expand on that as a construct a little bit? The informal economy, I loved it. I'm gonna add it to my Twitter feed.
Sure. I mean, the informal economy is the one that says, you know, as your kids grow older, there are people that you continue to get kids items from, and they just come, they just show up. People who pass along, you know, could be a rocking chair or kitchen items, camping gear, whatever they are. It's the economy that has existed for, it's part of our social culture, which is, putting things to use and passing them on between people. And that's, you know, it's an informal economy, and it continues to grow. And in this day, with the advent of technology and information, there is an opportunity, and I see us at the beginning of it, right? But there is an opportunity that we are just starting out on, where the way that the social graph and technology affect us is they bring that information about what's needed and what's there to the surface, and they allow the social connections for that informal economy to be more effective and to scale. And that's really exciting in our minds.
It really is exciting in my mind, too. It's like, okay, yeah, let's do this. Let's make it happen. And when you talk about, it's like I thought about the tribes, when we used to go way back when and people were members of tribes and they went to markets and traded things. It was all about trade, and it was no money was exchanged, and the value of that and the trust was so real, and it's kind of circling back to that on a much bigger scale.
And we're, just to be clear, in our viewpoint right now is we're not opposed to, our viewpoint is we need to use price transactions in the right places in the social network.
And I like that,
so for
too.
For people that you have social connection to, it's awkward to pay them, right? It would be like going to a good friend invites you for dinner, and instead of bringing a bottle of wine, you just hand them a $20 bill.
Yeah, that would be really weird.
You're right. It feels awkward. And it's because you're not paying them for dinner. You are thanking them for what they are doing for you.
Right.
And this is why this has really driven a lot of the premise on how we've structured the site initially, which is that if I hand something to Adam, you know, as a gift, it's not that he needs to hand me something back. Maybe he picked up my kids from school that day.
Right.
Right, or maybe he has great parties. And the economy, the informal economy, already works like this. We have groups of friends, of people that we're connected to, that we're constantly exchanging value with, right? And it can be social value, it can be material things, it can be entertainment, it can be help with raising kids, anything. And that what we are looking to do is we're taking those existing relationships that our members have, and we're allowing them to be more efficient with sharing things with those existing relationships. Now, outside those relationships, is where money, where U.S. dollars can be effective, because if you don't have any relationship with someone, then U.S. dollars can work just fine because you're making an immediate transaction. One of our advisors and a mentor of ours is Bill McDonough, who talks about the difference of currency being immediate,
right,
versus capital. And what you're doing when you're handing something to a friend is capital-based. What you're doing when you're exchanging money is currency. And it's just a one moment in time.
So you've got some really good advisors there. Let me ask you this, Andy. How much of your, in the starting this, of the creation of Yertle, how much of a value did you put on not just reducing waste? Because to me, after doing this for Mrs. Green's World for 5 years, when people say, what do you think the number one challenge facing the planet is? And it rolls off my tongue, massive consumerism, because you can thread it into everything, whether it's energy, mm-hmm. water, whatever, consumer goods, coal. We're consuming too much and the earth cannot sustain it for much longer. That's my personal belief. How much of the core values of what your vision was wanted to have an impact on, you're actually talking about reducing waste because you'll get it out of your house and put it somewhere else other than the landfills. How much of the conversation centered around that?
It was, you know, the motivation for us is that we are not, we're not okay with the pace of change that's going on. It doesn't add up. It's not moving, it's not enough, and it's not fast enough.
Right.
And so that is absolutely at the core of why we're doing what we're doing. Now, it's important to us from, at least, and I'll speak for myself, from what I've seen, that it's, you know, to actually create that kind of change, it can't be done from a point of view where someone says, gosh, I really want to buy a board game, but I just shouldn't, right? Because that is it's like dieting. It's just not, that
not
is not
sustainable.
Yes, it's not. And it's not going to be big enough. What is great, right, is to provide an alternative that whether people know or not that every pound of an item you buy represents 71 pounds of waste in the supply chain. So by getting a board game from a friend who's done with it, you have saved X pounds of waste in the supply chain. The embedded energy in those products is tremendous, right? So you've reduced carbon, you know, the carbon footprint. So what we need to do to be successful is we need to provide better alternatives for people on how they live their lives. That regardless of their perspectives, these better alternatives, they make more sense, they're more fulfilling, they're better experiences. And as a connected piece of that, they allow us to live better with less footprint.
So I want to ask this question. I don't even know how to phrase the question. When you say we really need to accelerate the process, I couldn't agree with you more. We have a big, huge dumpster in our neighborhood association that we put out. The association pays for twice a year. And I always know when it's out because I hear the trucks start pulling up. Andy, you wouldn't believe the things people throw in the garbage. No, I'm sure you would. Throw
yep.
in the garbage. Brand new, tags on, got a new office, dumped their computers,
right.
working printers. And we have no pride in this family because I'm Mrs. Green and I'm married to Mr. Green, and we pull stuff out proudly and put it on Facebook. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is disgusting.
Yep.
How are you going to help permeate the market and raise the consciousness? And I know I sound kind of goofy about this is such a great answer that you've come up with, and I want to help.
The way that I believe we'll do that is it will not be by, I think the progress is going to happen when people find better things to do with those items, not by telling them not to throw them away.
Right. Don't blame and shame.
It'll be so much more rewarding than putting a printer in a dumpster to hand a printer to someone who's about to buy one and make their day.
So do you see like Yertle events? Could there be a Yertle event in a neighborhood association where people just come and trade?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had a lot of interest. We've done a number of events that have been very successful like that, and we hope to do many more. And one of the things that we see from our members is, in many cases, when possible, they want to see the people, right? So it's a friend of theirs they haven't seen in a few weeks, and they'd like to see them. And so we absolutely look for those meetup opportunities as well as events, right? I mean, you know, swap meets are tremendous. With, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there, but the core of it is, you know, in creating better ways, right? In creating better alternatives for people right now, you know, it allows it just becomes obvious. Of course, I would, of course I would put this board game. We just got a board game from a friend of ours on Yurtle. Of course I put that board game on Yurtle because I had such a great time last time handing it to Andy.
And they say that. So when, and just another thing too, a little bit about the mechanics. I keep going back to that. So once you get rid of your item, you have to be responsible for going in and taking it off the site.
It automatically. So the way that it works is an item is out there. It works much like Airbnb when you have a place for rent, and you end up, you know, you can then find an item from a friend or someone you're connected to that you would like, and you would want that item. But whoever's item it is, they choose who it ultimately goes to. So you could have two people want it. And just like any friendship relationship, there's some, they tend to give it to the first person who wanted it. But once that happens, we call it nabbed. The item's been nabbed. And so at that point then, the two people follow up. We connect the two people. And they follow up individually to have the meetup or to make the transaction.
Okay.
We've experimented with moving items for people. And what's been interesting about that is because of the social connection, there's less demand than we expected to have things moved, to have them delivered.
Well, let's pick up on that. We're going, believe it or not, we're up to the second break, our last break, and we want to stay with that thought. We'll talk about the moving connection. I am so happy to be interviewing Andy Rubin from Yurtle. You can check him out at yurtle.com. Please stay here with me. When we come back, we'll talk about the big vision, how your plans are to monetize it, and what the vision is for 5 years down the road. Please stay here with me.
She's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you, and you want to spend eternity with her. She deserves nothing less than the best, an Abbott Taylor original. A diamond engagement ring as exceptional as she is that will make her eyes sparkle every time she sees it. Because we design and make our own jewelry, we can create something wonderful for every budget. I'm Abbott Taylor. I'd like to invite you to come see what Abbott Taylor Jewelers has waiting for you. With 35 years and thousands of original jewelry designs, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. We're proud to say using recycled gold, we have saved over 100 million pounds of toxic waste from this planet. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook, and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
It's got advanced technology. It's got major breakthroughs in technology everywhere you look. It's the 2013 Honda Accord. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I want to share with you that after nearly 40 years of heritage, this is the most stunning Accord ever. The highly respected Automotive Magazine raves that the 2013 Honda Accord offers unparalleled talent of goodness. Please visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson to check it out and see for yourself.
Do you dare to share? In 2009, the University of Arizona started its car sharing program. Today, students, faculty, and staff have access to a shared fleet of cars that includes 7 hybrids and even the zero-emissions Nissan Leaf. Not only does car sharing give the campus community wheels, but it takes all those extra cars off the road, too. Now that greens things up, doesn't it? The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
You can save hundreds on home improvement by checking out Habitat for Humanity's Habastore. The Habastore sells new and gently used home improvement items for pennies on the dollar. You can find cabinets, doors, windows, light fixtures, furniture, and much more. Plus, our inventory is constantly changing. You'll be saving money, and all the profits go to Habitat for Humanity Tucson, helping to build a better community. The Habastore is located at 935 West Grant Road. You can reach us at 520-889-7200 or habitattucson.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, and we are certainly giving you a lot to think about today. I feel like I'm part of an exciting new concept that is going to take the world by storm and go viral. I am happy to be interviewing Andy Rubin from Yertl, a name they made up, and it's all about sharing your stuff. How great is that? Andy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We went to break. We were talking about helping people with the concept of moving things. So just why don't you just do a little recap of that?
Sure. We, from a traditional retail standpoint, logistics and moving is a table stake. It's one of the things you just expect. And so similar to you'd find another retail site where you'd have, you know, buy a certain amount and get free shipping. So spend $50 at Gap and get free shipping. When Yertl launched on Black Friday, we offered free shipping. So if you posted, we said, you know, share five items with friends, and you can pick out an item yourself and have free shipping. We expected a certain amount of demand that you'd see for that service, like traditional retail. And so we basically, with local delivery in San Francisco, we got ready for about 5 days of that. And it turns out that the demand was much less. The demand for shipping was, you know, we spent a little under a day instead of 5 days.
Wow.
And as we dug into that, you know, what we saw was another indication of how important the human connection was in what's taking place. And people actually either would see the people that they were giving an item to or getting an item from on a weekly basis. Maybe their kids go to school or they go to church with that person or have some connection, physical space. Or it's someone that they haven't connected with in a while. And the item gave them an excuse to meet back up, you know, get a cup of coffee or come over for dinner or a meal. And so we again, in that offering of free shipping, we were again blown away by how important the social connection was of what's taking place, where items really became the reason to reconnect and to meet up.
You know, it's so, to me, it's like, yeah, that, I get that. Like, that put a big smile on my face. You know, seeing someone I haven't seen for a while, let's get together for coffee and exchange X. And on the Mrs. Green team, we meet every other week. There are six of us. And I didn't think about it till you were explaining it, but when I'm going through, like, after a post-holiday, you know, getting rid of things, I just leave it out on the buffet, and our team has started bringing things. I don't need this. Mm-hmm. I got two of these. And starting that informal exchange. And my stuff, I have so much, like, for example, Christmas things. It's mm-hmm. like I'm so over this. And instead of just donating it somewhere, you know, for Kelly that's starting out and has a young family, she's delighted to build her Christmas collection. So it's, yeah, yes. I love it. It's really a good idea. Okay, I
that
have
was a
to.
Great,
yeah, it is.
Great example of that. And
it
we
is.
Saw we saw a lot of that on the site around Christmas. Halloween. Costumes.
Halloween costumes.
Were
perfect.
Incredible. Yep.
I saw we bought a really spectacular costume for my oldest daughter, and we saw every kid in our family, every niece and nephew end up wearing that costume because we just passed it down. They were in so many pictures, like, did he wear the sunflower costume? Okay, what about, I have to ask the question because you're obviously good business people. I loved what Joel McCower said in the article is, you don't seem to be overly concerned about monetizing it, but one mm-hmm. would hope that it'll become a sustainable business model. How do you see that happening down the road?
You know, it's early to know that. We've got, you know, we definitely have had a few ideas. An example that that happened in the last 2 weeks, I was sitting with someone on Yertl who was looking for a monitor, a computer monitor. And because of their connections and their social network, they didn't have any monitors. And I looked on, you know, because everyone's Yertl screen or your phone app will look different based on your social connections. I have three. Right? I have three monitors right now that friends of mine are done with and have offered up. And so we right now are in the process of talking to people who have posted a monitor and maybe, you know, their friends have not needed it. And someone that they don't know who's looking for one. So there, you know, one of the possibilities we're excited about is the opportunity, again, where if you don't know that person, and your friends don't need it, there may be an opportunity to then sell it and have a standard peer-to-peer marketplace down the road. There are a handful of opportunities like that where we continue to create more opportunity to find what you need, ideally most of it free from your friends, but still provide a broad market by taking that monitor that right now is sitting in someone's closet and garage and putting it back in use.
And have you philosophically decided one way or the other about sponsorships and partnering with businesses that are ethically, morally sustainable, really, 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 to be helping support the spread of this? Like you mentioned, retailers partnering. And I thought, right. But then I thought, no, right. There are businesses that would say, we get it. We want to be a part of it. We're parents. We're grandparents. Yeah, we don't have to make that extra 20% or 3% or 1% of the impact that it would make. Do you think that can happen where you'll say, we have some good sponsors and they're going to help us spread the word because this is that big an idea?
Absolutely. And one of the, in the brand space, the people who have been most interested are the people who have, they're traditionally, they're high quality, very well made, very well designed items. Right, so it might be a Patagonia jacket.
First one I thought of, 1% for the planet, right.
Yep, and they're items that, you know, I mean, I've got Patagonia gear from, I've got Patagonia gear I'm still using from 25 years ago. Yeah. Right, they're items that a company like Patagonia will stand behind no matter, and it's one of the commitments, you know, in conversations with Patagonia, it's one of the things that they've said to us is that they stand behind any item regardless of how many users. And that's where partnerships with people like that, where you have the ability to pass along a jacket, and a company like a Patagonia can stay in better touch with the end customers who are doing that, is a phenomenal opportunity. And if we end up with, you know, with our kids, if we end up with several free Patagonia jackets from our friends because they're being put to better use, when the fourth time comes around and there isn't one in our network, my bet is that we will have enjoyed those jackets so much that we will purchase a new one, and when we're done with it, we'll continue to then pass it, you know, kind of pay it forward and pass it along.
And it is that brand loyalty. You know, it is. It absolutely is, and I have it, and I keep bringing up Trader Joe's, and I don't know how green they are. I just know that when I go there, no matter what I want, they'll stop what they're doing and walk you to where it is in the aisle, no matter what, in a friendly way, if they're stacking stuff, and I say, no, 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 you know, you can do it. So do you think I want to go back there, or do you think I want to go back somewhere where I'm annoying somebody because I'm, you know, stopping them from what they're doing? You know,
Absolutely. It's
that kind of experience that you're talking about. And then I saw on your website, just tell me a little bit about this. It's Pass on Plastic Because Glass is Fantastic, and that's the Plastic Pollution Coalition. Absolutely love them. So there are potential for partners and movements like that along the way also. Agreed?
Absolutely. And one of the places that we are in kind of the, I'm going to zoom out to the macro kind of sustainability perspective.
Love it.
You know, one of the ideals that I have and many people have is that there's a movement eventually towards services, right? And there's an ability that things are designed in a way to be regenerative and to be disassembled and reassembled and recreated. And one of the, you know, the places as we think about partnering with brands with high quality items and retailers. Making money as people, you know, can, as items move around, not just when items are sold new, we see that as a step in that direction. So when I, you know, if I have a family with 10 kids, I might choose a Patagonia jacket because my cost per use will be less than if I have a family with one, you know, that I'm not going to pass something along and have, you know, one child, and I'm going to buy something less expensive, less well-made that will last for 1 year.
Such and a good example of kids, stuff for kids that fall apart after four washings, but it was really cheap. And it's like my husband always say, you get what you pay for.
Right. So we're tremendously excited about getting beyond with technology, getting beyond the shelf level pricing of an item and into the true cost per use. Because the idea is that will take us into better designed products that actually are not just more enjoyable to use, they actually are less expensive in cost per use. And that moves us a step closer towards services. And so that's a kind of a macro view that we have of where does this all go, and how does this actually, you know, how does replacing 20% of what we buy new with things from our friends, where does that go? What happens with the other 80%?
You know, for events that I've been here locally and outside of Tucson, when there is an opportunity for like a green festival or a green awareness activity, I always advise people, let's put a component in where people can just bring something, and it might be books or it might be X, and then they can get it in exchange. So there's real exchange, and people get excited about it. It's a call to action that actually engages them instead of just coming to look at all the booths, so to speak. So there's that
Absolutely.
Human connection again that you have. There's like a beginning question and the end question. When you started on Black Friday, which I think is just the most horrendous day of the year, it makes me sick, and I made sure that I wasn't near any store. I wouldn't even go out to eat on that day. It was like, this is so disgusting to even call it Black Friday. What happened since then? What have you seen, and how excited have you been to today, you know, the middle of February?
Oh my gosh, yes, so it's been roughly 10 weeks, and we have just been, we've been thrilled. I mean, the growth has been, the growth in the members in Yertle has been logarithmic. I mean, it's been tremendous. There is, of course, we're in the first few feet of a very, I mean, this is just the beginning, and there is so much to be done that we're learning, right, from our members and what's working and what's not and how to help things along. But the growth and the involvement and the stories and the items, the hundreds of items that have been shared since then are just, they're mind-blowing. I mean, I would have never, it's such a pleasure to be involved with.
I know, and it kind of was daunting to me. I mean, I've been doing this for 5 years, and it's a very different kind of thing. But I looked at your numbers on Facebook, and I'm like, really? You're almost up to where I am, and I want to catch some of that really great juju that you have going on for exploding this. It was very thrilling, and to see all of the places throughout the country where people are already on and creating, you know, Yertle connections already without, you know, this big huge company opening. You know what I mean?
Yes, and it's early. Someone asked the other day about, I was somewhere where someone said, yeah, I you know, had an experience where I tried to get something and it was really hard. And because it's early, that's going to happen. I remember the first time in the early 90s when I tried to buy something online. Right, and the experience was, my wife couldn't understand why I wouldn't just pick up the phone and order it. But I was determined to try to figure out this online shopping thing. And it's similar right now. I mean, I think that you know, for sure, Yertle, it's an early stage where the idea makes so much sense. And the early users are the people who are going to invent that space and going to get on there and share some items and learn with us and help that evolve. And that's what's exciting about the time frame right now. And as that gets better, it simply becomes a more obvious way of finding things and making these connections.
And I want to say after 10 weeks, it's not going to happen. It's already happening. And I'm excited to be a part of this ride. And the other thing that I want to mention to our listeners is even if you don't have anything to sell, to put up there or something that you're looking for, give yourself the gift of going on the site. You'll find things that I guarantee you never heard of. I did. Like, what the heck is a Waze phone hugger? I mean, I was like, I have to go and look it up. And it's just, it's an enjoyment. It's enjoyable to connect with people. And my thing was, okay, what can I put up there? Because I want some of their stuff. I didn't know I did, but now that it's on Yertle, it's like, oh, that would be really fun. So I could even exchange stuff. So the
That's
best
great.
Way, let's go through the way that people sign up is to go on Facebook and just put in Yertle and they subscribe.
The best way to start is just go to Yertle.com.
Yertle.com, okay.
And
then it walks you through it.
Yes, and at that point it will ask you to log in through Facebook. And with Facebook, we have very strong points of view on privacy, and we will never post to your wall or now the timeline without explicit permission.
And it's
so
very clear there.
Facebook.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yep. And then once on Yertle, you either, depending on connections you have on Facebook, we'll see several hundred items that are there from your friends.
We've got it.
In the event that you don't, you can post an item.
Okay, Ural.com, that's the last word. Colleen Crown and Shield this Tuesday talking about compressed natural gas from clean cities. And next week, Rudy Socha, CEO of Wounded Nature. Andy, thank you so much. Can't wait to follow this trail.